LCI. Kind of puzzled like this silver tone I got sitting over here. Come from Sears back in 1940. Is that this book, the other book I got over here, says back here in the 30s. Sears bought all kinds of different wages from different people. And at one time in 62, they sold the Hallicrafters SX-140 and T-40 transmitter that went with it. But when I had this silver tone redone, I almost bet they had to do some modifying in there to get everything back right, because some of these parts, I mean, even with, when you're dealing with, like with that in Rayu Boulevard, another company, I don't have the name of it in front of me. It's up in Ohio that I sent to have that thing redone there. They have to modify some parts to make it work, because there's just some parts you'll never get again. And whoever's to take it, Patrick, or I don't remember who all was even in here, because I got to go take some insulin. But when this stuff gets old and I ain't made it in a long time, getting parts might be practically impossible, and you have to, like they've had to do, and like you was talking about, might have to modify it, like it or not. KI4LCI.
Get these four back up and going and on there. This is going to be the last of them. I'm getting too old, and I can't blame it on my eyes now, because I got the cataracts took off and I'm not even wearing glasses. But I get the, where they cut them nerves in my neck to put them plates in, my left hand gets shaky at times and hurt me to hold the wire together and with my left hand and try to solder. If I get them in place, and I've got the solder in my left hand and soldering pencil in my right hand, and my left hand is shaking, so I get these going. I'm all quit restoring the thing, but man, I love to take one of these old jokers and get them back on the air. But getting too old for it, and my daughter said she'd never get rid of them. She'd give them to my grandson when I'm gone. But so she gave me all my radio equipment. She wouldn't sell it. She'd give it to my grandson. Man, every capacitor in them, that stuff would be dried out before he ever got his license. But it's been a great hobby. I looked around in here at all the equipment I got, oscilloscopes, signal generators, and people would come in here and look, my God, how much money have you got in that stuff? I've got money tied up in it, but it took me 43 years to get it. $50 here and $100 there, but it's been a great hobby. Like I say, I'm going on 44 years I've been into this. It's one of the best hobbies a man can have. Somebody else pick it up, K4LAM.
For HKX, another problem I see with the older radios y'all are talking about is finding somebody that knows how to work on them. Where you don't go through the training you did to get your license before. I don't think you just fully understand all that stuff.
I got my license. When I got my novice license, on the test, one of the questions on there, it said draw a Hartley oscillator or a Colpitts oscillator. And you had to draw the schematic for that oscillator and tell what each component in that thing done, and you had to know all the elements in the tube. They weren't no transistors back then, and what that tube done and how it did it. And if they had questions like that now on the general exam, we wouldn't have many general class licenses. It was a lot rougher 44 years ago. I was proud when I got that novice license, but I took courses in radio and TV repair through the VA. And nowadays, it's cheaper just to go buy a TV than take one to the shop. I don't even know if there's any shops around anymore. But I'm not bragging, but I'm pretty good on these old, what they call boat anchors. If you can understand one of them, you pretty much know all of them. All of them basically got the same circuit in them. But Chad tickled me when he got a hold of that old Hamlet. I believe it's a HQ-120. And he didn't know what all them knobs was for on there. Back then, they wasn't no upper and lower side band. You had a BFO on there where you could tune the frequency for the CW. And then when the sideband come along, you were on AM. Well, you switched to CW to pick up the upper or lower sideband, and you tune that BFO either left or right to get the tone to the frequency of the voice right. It sounded like Donald Duck when you first tuned it in. And then you had a tremor capacitor. You had to tune to get the maximum out of the antenna. And the transmitters, that was something else. Every time you changed frequency, not just when you changed band, when you changed frequency, you had to tune that thing in and tune the files, you'd load it and then peak it, and then load it, dip it, and then peak it again, and get it up there, the peak at the maximum, and you had to go through all of that every time you changed frequency. If you moved up just a few kilohertz, you had to retune that transmitter, and you had a relay. If you used the same antenna for the transmitter and the receiver, you had an electronic relay that you plug your antenna into, and then you had SL-239s on there, or one going to your receiver and one going to your transmitter. And when you key the transmitter, that RF would key that relay and take it away from the receiver to keep the signal from going into the receiver. And heck, I built my own antenna tuner. That thing was kind of suicidal operating it, because if you got in touch that thing when you were transmitting, man, it would light you up. But ham radio 44 years ago was a whole lot different than it is now. But I loved it. You built your own equipment. I'd go around to the TV shops, and all those junk TVs, they were glad to give them to me. Get your transformer out of there, and your resistors and capacitors and the sweep tubes, and you built your own receiver. I even built one, a receiver and transmitter, on a piece of pine board. It came out in one of the articles in QST, the pine board transmitter and receiver. I wish I still had that thing. I don't know how many Bristol radio sets I built, but I love fooling with this old stuff. I cannot go into none of this solid state. I am not about to fool with none of that. K4OIM, somebody else go with it.
Me out of the novice whenever you said all those words that didn't sound English. KO4CEF.
Yes, it was a lot different back then. I'm trying to remember. My first call was WD4RCL. And back then, a novice could only operate CW on the, well, we had 80-40, 20-10. We wasn't allowed on 15. And then when they came out with the, what they call the technician license, then you could use some of the very bottom of the phone band on 80-40, 2015 and 10, but you wasn't allowed to, you had to get your, what they call the Tech Plus license. You had to know at least 5 words a minute so you could use CW, but usually you had to have the 5 words a minute to get your novice license. So if you could pass your technician's license, you got what they call the Tech Plus license. So you had CW and phone privileges. But boy, over the 44 years, FCC's changed a whole lot. Back then, you didn't have no FRN number or none of that stuff. But if they hadn't have changed, a ham radio would have died. K4OI.
Died or not, but I know I'd definitely be out, because to get novice or even technicians, if I had to do 5 words a minute, as much as I still struggle now, yeah, no, I'd be out. I wouldn't even be general right now.
Put in the code. I'd be at work. If I seen a sign or anything, I would translate it into CW. The main thing about learning CW is not sending, is receiving. Because, like me, I can transmit a whole lot faster than I can receive. And it's easier learning code not to write it down as you're receiving it. I know that sounds strange, but interpret it in your head, and you'll finally get to, there's a rhythm to it. And you will know when they start sending a word, the first 2 letters of it, you will automatically know what the next few letters are going to be. Because everybody I know can send faster than they receive. And once you get on the air, if you send it 15 or 20 words a minute, whoever's receiving that, they gonna send back 15 or 20 words a minute. And if you can't, if you're not sending, if you can't receive that fast, you better not transmit that fast. I'm not ashamed to go on there and ask them to slow down. Not at all, but I hadn't been doing much code at all up till the last few weeks with my throat. And I'm going to have to get back in here and get back into it. Man, I got all these pretty keys sitting here and don't even use them. Got one of the old Black Widow bugs over there. And that thing's solid brass. I need to get me some cleaner and take that thing apart and clean it up. And I think I'm going to spray it with clear coat, because man, that thing is beautiful cleaned up. But once you touch it, that brass, it tarnishes easy. And man, that's a beautiful key. I got to get it cleaned up. Clear coat's the only way I know of that, to keep it shiny where it won't get tarnished again. I cleaned enough brass when I was in the Navy, K4OIM, back to anybody who wants it.
Have to type it out. If I type it or whatnot, I can't head copy yet. No way. But I do use my straight key. I know exactly what you mean. I can send faster, so I have to really think and make sure I slow myself down. Because if I go too fast and somebody copies, you know, matches me, I won't understand hardly anything they write.
That's the way I am. I'll catch myself. On this paddle here, it is easy to get going too fast on a paddle. And I went up to Candler to this Silent Key Estate sale about 4 months ago and bought this, it's a Kenpro KK70 straight key. It's mounted on a marble base with the, clear plexiglass cover over it. Man, that's a beautiful key. And just as smooth as it can be. But that Black Willis key I got, the solid brass one, between the arms on the paddle, it's got a spring in there, you know, to set your adjustment. And you can take the spring out, and it's got magnets on each side. And boy, you talking about smooth. You adjust them magnets in and out for the pull on that arm, and that thing's just as smooth as it can be. I don't use it more. Well, I do, because every time you touch it, it tarnishes the doggone thing. I got 4, 5, 6, 7 keys. I've got one red rider here that's been restored. I had told Chad that I was going to give him that thing. He's been good helping me out. He's come over here and helped me with my truck, and he built me a J-pole antenna. I got to get that thing up. And then Christmas Day, he had his son bring me some dinner over here. Oh, Chad, man, he's a good guy. He's paying back to ham radio. I'm proud to been able to help him. And you're on the round table when he got his technician license, and we helped him out till he got up and got his generals, and finally a couple of months ago we went up to the extra and got them. And he got Anna to get her license. And I just enjoyed having this round table. Usually we got several in here asking questions of the new guys. And Chad, he's a member of that, I forget what club it is up there in Lambeth, the Thermal Belt Club. And I think he's president of it now. And some of the newcomers up there, they give Chad questions to ask on this day, on the round table, because they are still mic shy. Or don't want to get on there and ask the questions and somebody say something dumb. But Chad's usually in here with all kinds of questions. I don't know where he went tonight. So I'm going to have to do like Andy. I'm going to have to get out of here and get up there and take a couple of more pills and get in bed. It's been great talking to you, Chris. KI4LZI and KK4JBQ and KO4HKX, Patrick up there. Been good talking to you. And yeah, Patrick, I'm gonna do some research and see if I can find out something on the internet about Ken Wood, or either give him a call. But I I'm going to have to say seven trees and get out of here. I wish all of you a happy new year, and glad y'all stick in here and talk, share a little information, and I'll say seven trees and good night, and I'll stick around for a few minutes and see what the rest of you got to say. So seven trees, guys.
Walt, it was good to hear you again tonight, and enjoyed the round table. Not many questions, but a lot of good fellowship, put it that way. So y'all take care, and I'll go ahead and step on out to KO4HKX, and I'll be clear.
ABQ. There, and get yourself some good rest. You've given your throat quite a workout today. We want you to get better. Just keep on getting better. And I'm going to head out, too. I'm, as Chad is saying anymore, my tired is showing. Everyone have a good night. Walt, get some good rest. KK4, JBQ, clear.
Here's everybody. This is KO4CF, and I'll be standing by. KX, am I still up? KX, KO4CF, you still up?
I'm still here, Andrew.
You're out for Winterfield Day. That I don't understand right off right now is, if you have a group, how do you use one call sign? I don't understand that yet.
Don't know on that, but I would assume you have to apply for it through the FCC to get your that kind of thing going. And somebody in there may have to be a amateur extra.
Weeks figured out. Otherwise, you'd only get credit for the QSOs you make under your own call sign.
Try and find out more about it. That just get more involved in the hobby. Right now, it just seems like all I'm doing is using the 2-meter while I'm riding around in the tool truck. And, that, I mean, don't get me wrong, that's nice, but I want a little more out of it than that.
There, and last year Winterfield Day, I did good. You know, it kind of got me a little bit over the mic fright as far as answering a call, but I'm still not there comfortable calling CQ, and I feel like if I really step up, set up a station, you know, whatever, and pick a frequency and just start calling CQ for Winterfield Day, that would kind of take that out, because I want to do parks on the air. I would love to do that. Last time I was at, you know, Kings Mountain, I'd set up, and there were enough people calling that I did more hunting and never actually took the time to set up and start calling CQ, because I got that mental block over just doing it, you know, it just kills me.
It's tough sometimes just to step out there and do nothing, pretty much, and go for it, but I have just learned over the years just to do that. I know it sounds kind of silly, but my grandfather, he could walk up and talk to a fence post and carry on a conversation. So I grew up around him, and then my dad, he was on the CB all the time as a truck driver. So I guess it just comes second nature to me, just to, here I am, and then here I am. That's what I do all day long, is meet people and greet people and do business with them. So, I mean, it's just like the same thing for me. It's just now I got a mic in my hand instead of face-to-face.
I can do it at work, no problems. You know, even if I don't know somebody at work, it don't matter. I'll say hey to them, whatever, carry on conversation. But something about keying up that mic and calling CQ, even on, you know, like Morse code or whatnot, I have a thing that I got to get over so I can take more advantage of the hobby, because I find myself answering more QSOs that way than I do just keying up and talking or whatnot. I don't mind it on 2 meters, but for some reason on HF, I just feel like everybody in the world's listening how bad I'm screwing up.
I'm the same way on a little bit of that, but I just learned to go for it. If I mess up, somebody will be there to tell me what I'm doing wrong, I'm sure, and then I'll fix it and move on.
But I think it would be nice, because you can use a club or a group call sign.
I'd like to find out about it, because, I mean, it'd be nice to either, if this Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, or, like you mentioned, Greer, one of them, that might be fun to join if they got something set up. Or just, like I said, like we had a couple people in the text group today that were interested. I don't know if Ed would actually come out and set up, but, you know, he might want to do it from his home. The only thing that would do is just put us in the home category, which is not really a problem. I'm not worried about winning, but I do want to make QSOs, you know?
Like I said, I want to get more involved in the hobby and get more out of it. I would love to spend more time at the club meetings learning how to do this kind of stuff. But so far, that's not been the case for me.
I'm doing that every, and it may be where you live too, because you live, you know, in the black hole. For me, every club is a drive. You know, even the one in Spartanburg is on the other side of Spartanburg. The one in Greer is all the way in Greer. Hendersonville's, it's like I'm smack dab in the middle of a bunch of clubs, but they all meet everywhere. Even the Blue Ridge meets in Greenville. So it's a haul. It's 30 minutes or so to every single one of them, and that's what's kept me from going any of them.
My thing also is the tool truck. Greer, I've been to it because on Greer, I'm in that area or fairly close. The problem is I can't get the tool truck in there, and I got to rely on somebody to come pick me up and leave my tool truck sitting somewhere. And then I don't get home till, you know, 11 o'clock at night, and then got to get up and go the next morning. So it just makes it a little tough, but just like anything else, if you want it bad enough, it's there. But there's a club in Hendersonville that meets that may be closer for you, since you can run right up 26.
I got to find one, and I know, I want to say it might have been the Hendersonville. It's either the Hendersonville or one up in Shelby. When I was first taking my testing before the whole COVID thing, you know, they were, whenever I contacted them, I had missed a day, and they actually emailed me back and said, well, you know, if we don't have a day that'll meet you, just let us know and we'll try to set something up. And I was very impressed with that, but I can't remember who that was. That's been 2 years ago, so but it was either the Hendersonville or the Shelby one that was like that. But yeah, I just kind of stuck in the middle. I need to find one of them, though, because it would definitely be a benefit, I believe.
To go to the Hendersonville website, it is BRARC is their website, Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Club, and it's in Hendersonville, and I'm on it now. They got a lot of good information on there if you want to check it out.
Before OIM, that club that Chad is president of, the Thermal Belt Club, they're right up here on, I believe they meet up here on Highway 11, right off 26, not 11, 14, up there in Landrum.
They're doing all their Zoom, because I did join that club with Chad. They're going to do everything Zoom, and they're going to have a meeting tomorrow night via Zoom. They're going to do all theirs that way.
Chris Nolo, I would probably miss a face-to-face at some point, but I would definitely be interested, because I know Chad lives up in Camp Beller. So, I mean, that probably wouldn't be that bad. I mean, my parents don't live far from there. But still, I would actually be interested. I need to holler at Chad next time I hear him on the radio.
Or hear him tomorrow, you can talk to him about that. Like I said, I got the email sent to me yesterday about doing the Zoom meeting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Need to holler, because, I mean, that would be interesting. Even if he did set up, I wonder where he would, you know, he'd have to find a place to do it. But it'd probably still be closer than any of the other ones. But, yeah. Walt, you're right, too. I mean, that'd just be the way to go.
My house to the Clear Club meeting, I can be there in 30 minutes, and you're just right across the lake here from me. I just go, well, for me, I go up across the Bridge Road and turn back on Windmill Road up there before you get to Shopman High School. Go over and hit 176, and turn left and go down to Ballard Road, where you turn right, and you go out there and you cross Holly Springs Road, but I turn right on Holly Springs Road and go up me at 357 and take 357 into Greer and go straight across and go up there to the red light at the hot spot and turn left. And the Greer Club meets down there on 290 about a mile and a half down on 290, right out of Greer. I mean, from my house, I can be there in 30 minutes.
That's the same. God, I hate the 30-minute drive, especially get off work and come home, get changed, and then take off, which is kind of what I had to do because the Spartanburg Club meets at Drayton, and that's on the other side of Spartanburg, and it's kind of the same thing. It would just be nice if one was somewhat closer, but, yeah. And I do have my contentions about going to Greer just whenever I was just getting started. I don't want to talk junk about them, but it was just a couple things that I had asked questions for and never got any response to. But, in 30 minutes sitting that bad, it's just after a day of work. That ain't really what I want to do is drive another 30 minutes.
Greer Club had moved to Drayton. When I got my novice license, I was a member of not the Greer Club, the Spartanburg Club. But when I got my novice license, they had classes, and I took my novice classes with them, and we met in that fallout shelter underneath the Spartanburg City Hall and police station up there. In the bomb shelter.
Ignition's test at the Drayton Fire Department down there. I mean, I know exactly where that place was at, but because our chief in Whitney was, you know, he was also over at Drayton as well, but it was funny. That's where I took my test at for my technician. But, yeah, they're just all, it's all a haul, and I hate to do that after I get off work. You know, I don't know. It's just me being stupid, but it's just one of those things.
Doing the same thing, man, and it's an issue for me too. I get what you're saying.
Meetings would be nice, but you know the downside. Every once in a while, you just get together with people because I mean, even on the radio, it's fun. But I would definitely like to get back to meeting people face to face at some point in time.
You and I have been talking on the radio for over a year now, and we still haven't met face to face.
On the one eat out, but because I had to work that day, we ain't ever set one up again.
Do that one evening or one day, see if we can get everybody together again.
I don't know if I might want to do it now because it gets dark at 6 o'clock. Maybe once it starts, we get a little more daylight today, people might be willing to do it.
All day by myself, and my daughter, she, leaves here about 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work, and I have to get up and get my grandson ready and take him up here to New Prospect School. I come back home and sit here to about a quarter after two, and I go back and pick him up, bring him home, and sit here. She don't get home till about 15 after six. Between that and 6:30 at night, and it makes it rough on me to go to the Greer meeting to leave here. But as quick as she gets home and take off and get to Greer to that meeting, and before I had these cataracts took off, I absolutely couldn't see nothing hardly at night to drive, but now I'm all right. But he's out of school all this week, and he's over at my granddaughter's. I think he said he's going to stay 4 days, but I'm babysitting, and it makes me rough on me to get out and go anywhere on account. I got to be here to go pick him up and then be with him till she gets home, but This last one, I didn't go to the glitter meeting because this COVID thing, even though I done had my shots and the booster shot, I had the COVID February, it'd be 2 years ago. And I must have not had it as bad as some people because a couple of months after I got over it, I got the flu, and I'd had my flu shot. Man, I thought that flu was going to kill me. It ended up, I got pneumonia in my right lung, and it was a whole lot worse than that COVID was. But I'm going to have to get out of here and get up there and go to bed, man. It's all 25 minutes to 12. I'm way past you, so I'm going to say good night at 7:30 to you, Patrick and Chris. Andrew, it's good talking to y'all again.
Oh, have a good evening. Talk to you later.
Hope I hear you on the radio a little more. KO4CEF.
You go check out that webpage yet?
I used to, I never really did their regular nets. I would check in here and there, but they used to do the, oh, God, is it? It's the single, the SSTV net. I've got a couple of the cards that are hanging on my wall from where I participated. That was pretty fun. It was one of the things that I enjoyed most once I first got into the hobby was doing the SSTV net where you'd send images over the radio and you would basically download the images as well. It was a lot of fun. I used to love doing that. And then I just kind of got away from doing it in the evenings. Plus it was always after the net, which is a lot later than when I get to stay up whenever I don't have to work the next day.
Hey, that doesn't start till at least 9 o'clock, so I'm sure you could be up for a while over that one.
And that's why usually I don't get to stay up this late for any kind of rag to check in and out and try to get in bed 10:30, 11 o'clock if I'm lucky.
Try to check in here. I got my business closed out every day I got to do and get up and get ready for the next day. And not getting any younger.
Right. I wish I was, but no, I'm not. But, yeah. But I like staying up late so on the day I don't have to go to work the next day. But if I got to work, I got to try to get in bed at a decent time or at least lay down at a decent time.
I'm up while you and Ken are usually talking. I'm just listening on my handheld. And then about the time I'm getting everything transferred to the vehicle is about the time you're getting to the gate ready to go in to work.
New schedule, which, you know, first month or so, I'll try to get to work early and get all my stuff together, and so I might not be on quite as early as even when Ken gets on. I'm probably off in the plant by then, but hopefully once I get settled in, the first meeting's not usually till 6:30, so hopefully that'll give me some time to just kind of ease my way into work like I've been doing the last couple weeks of the year, so. Because I enjoyed kind of staying on the radio a little bit longer and being able to chat since not as many people are on in the mornings.
Was it just me and Ken?
Him and Mike. Tim, he's been going in early forever. I still text him in there and there, and Mike started going in even earlier. So, and then Ed, he don't wake up till 8 o'clock, which I did text him today. I was asking about Al, but I couldn't ever get a clear answer. He wasn't sure if it was Al that somebody was talking about on the radio or not. So hopefully it's not him, and he's still going good. And it wasn't him that passed away as a straight key, or silent key. But I don't know any way to find out because I don't even remember his call sign anymore. KO4CEF.
But no, he had a lot to do with him there, so he would know that answer.
To check with him because I believe he said that he let Al borrow a radio or was working on a radio or something, so he would know for sure, I would think. I need to text him sometime and see if he knows.
Is that Al? I'm pretty sure that's the Al. It's the silent key now.
That surprised me, but I really hope it's not.
For HK, I know Daniel got some of the radio equipment from Al, so that's why I say I'm pretty sure that's Al. And I, like you, I cannot remember his call sign.
Fine, Al. try to text him tomorrow or something and find out for sure. Well, I am doing some reading as we're chit-chatting, so a club call sign has to be applied for by the club, which, you know, makes sense, but so I guess there's no way for us to do Winter Field Day as a group, which is sad, but, you know, maybe we can find somebody, a group to participate with. Otherwise, we'll just, you know, if a couple of us can get together, we'll set up, and, you know, we'll have at it and just see how many contacts we can make, and we'll kind of compete that way.
I'm fine with that, doing it that way. I mean, either way is fine with me. I'd like to just get together somewhere. And like I said, I got the trailer that I was using for running my business out of while I didn't have a tool truck. So it makes a perfect mobile shack that we can get into and put the antennas outside.
I know, like I said, if you want to push your points, then you want to stay outdoors in a limited shelter, because that gives you the outdoor points. Otherwise, you'd be indoor, which is fine. Just means you're in a shelter, basically. Either way, it really don't matter. Like I said, this is more fun. Me and Ken and Ed were kind of competing last year, seeing who can get the most contacts. And I probably did it a lot longer than I was supposed to, because I stayed up all night, went to bed for a few hours, woke up the next morning, and started all over again. And I don't even remember how long you're supposed to be able to operate, but it's 24 hours from Saturday till Sunday.
I heard somebody say 10 hours or something like that.
I can find it. I don't remember reading it, but I don't remember if Winter Field Day had a time limit on their on it or not. It's just 24 hours, and I'd say no more than 12 hours. There we go. No more than 12 hours.
Don't have to worry about me for that, because I got a lot going on that weekend, I'm sure, just like any other weekend, but I want to make some time for it and at least get together and try it.
Let's see. I'm reading the rules. Well, I don't know. It says you can't set up for more than 12 hours. You can do 12, yeah, set up makes it soon no more than 12 hours. I don't see where it says you can't operate for more than that, but I'm sure what I'll do is if we meet up on Saturday or something and make some contacts for a while, once we finally wrap up, I might end up coming back home and doing it some more, because it was definitely a lot of fun. I highly recommend it, because it was just every frequency you jumped on, there's somebody calling for Winter Field Day. It was a blast. I really enjoyed it.
DKO4HKX here.
That Become a Silent Chief, his call was KI4MLN. KI4MLN from Malden. That was his call sign, and I don't know, but I would think y'all was talking about the field day in winter. I would assume it's similar to the summer one. It would be 2 p.m. to 2 p.m. That would be my guess.
I just can't find a time limit on how long you can operate.
Honest, you're right. I ain't done many. There ain't many clubs that does winter field day around here. I know, like I told you earlier, the Anderson Club up until about 2 years ago done it for about 3 or 4 years, but other than them, I don't know about any others that does, but I'm just judging it based on the way the summer field day is. I have been involved in some of them.
I didn't get a chance to do the regular ARR field day, but the winter field day set a good time for me, and I had a blast last year.
To the summer field day, it's always the last weekend in June. Last weekend in June is when the summer field day is, and it started up in the Northeast back in 1933 at that time, and due to tradition, it's always been like that.
Just reading over the rules here, and it says station setup may consume no more than 12 hours total. How and when you schedule/spend those 12 hours is up to you.
Because I'm thinking that's You can start setting up at 2 p.m. on Friday before. So you get 12 hours total that you can set up. But I don't see anywhere where it says you can't operate but a certain amount of time.
I don't know if you're reading the same rule as I am, but it says Sunday for 2022, the dates are January 29th and 30th. Station setup may commence no earlier than 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Friday before. Station setup may consume no more than 12 hours total. How and when you schedule to spend those 12 hours is up to you.
Now, it says station setup, and it's got the hyphen in between them, and then it says station setup may consume no, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which, and we probably won't do it more than 12 hours. I mean, from 2 to whatever time we wrap up. Yeah, I agree. And Andy, you're right. This the Winterfield Day is the last week of January. I don't think it's not an AR or AL sponsor, but it's just another group that does it. And it's the same thing, just kind of, you know, that I guess emergencies can happen at any time. So being able to set up your equipment even in the winter, I don't know. But it was definitely a lot of fun.
That's why I hate that the Anderson Club wasn't going to do it this time. Prior to 2 years ago, for 3 or 4 years straight, they done it. I couldn't ever attend it, as y'all said earlier about the distance factor. I have to be careful about the distance I drive because of my diabetes. But prior to that, the Anderson Club done that winter field day for 3 or 4 years straight. Anyone else around here for doing it, I ain't never heard about it. You know, I've done the summer thing many times and done a VHF, UHF contest a few times. It's the weekend prior to the last weekend in June. One of the times that the VHF, UHF contest was done. And I also, the VHF, UHF contest is done one time here in January also.
Good thing about Winterfield days, you don't have to worry about being hot. That's the only good side.
Old years is one of the ARRL to kind of do the big field day thing like the VHF UHF contest is done. These VHF UHF contests are done about 4 times a year, different sections of the country. But due to tradition being the way it was, the first one was in 1933, but of course it was in the northeast. And we all know up there in general it's cooler and less humid up there most of the time than it is down here. And that's kind of due to the tradition thing is the reason why it's always stuck as it is being the last weekend in June. KI4LCI.
Work, I would have tried to participate this last year in the regular field day, but I had to work that Saturday and I didn't feel like doing anything once I got home, so I skipped this last year. But I definitely know I don't have to work this this last weekend of January, so I'm going to participate in that one.
And it's just that on this in January, you have to do a lot of looking around to find anybody, any groups, I'll put it that way, or clubs that's actually participating. Because there just ain't that many doing it, and the only ones I knew of, the ones I was telling you about, I don't think they're going to do it this time. I don't think so. To be certain about it, I don't know his number or anything else, but KN4UPY, who's the EC of Anderson County, he could probably tell you for sure, but other than that, I don't know a whole lot else about him. I just listen over and check in with them on their repeaters sometimes and kind of learn that.
Patrick, you say they were doing the Winterfield Day in Greek?
Sure, Andrew. I think I heard them talking about that a few months back. But I will, if you hear Steve, ask him. He may know. But other than that, I really don't know right off the top of my head for sure. I knew they'd mentioned winter field day, but I don't know if they decided to do it or not for 100%.
We can always just do our own thing, and we'll just have fun making contact.
Sometimes more would be done in the winter, too, because of the heat and humidity, but that's not how it generally goes around here, as far as I'm aware of anyway, like the summer ones are.
Yeah, face it out a little bit. Do like a fall winter or fall field day.
VHF-UHF contest take place. It happens four times a year. One here in January, one before the next. The weekend before the last weekend in June is a VHF-UHF contest. One in January, and there's two others that takes place in the year. I can't remember what all the times those are. How I learned about all this is KO4MZ used to be, when I first got my tech license, he was getting real big into doing this kind of thing, and I would help him out, and so I'm with it, and we spent some time up on Sassafras Mountain doing it, and kind of got familiar with it that way.
You played in too many of those. Patrick, did you still don't have your general yet, do you? You're just a technician?
General.
I couldn't remember off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
We were talking up on 80 meters one day.
Yeah, so, well, okay, good. We'll be able to work all the bands in.
One thing y'all got to remember, of course, if y'all don't ever find one, it won't matter no way. Y'all know how the summer field day works, I assume. The way the summer field day does, everybody uses the call sign of, say, who's got the highest call sign, ranking. A lot of times it's a group call sign, or it's a club call sign, or whoever has the highest ranking license, which has to be an extra class. To cover you, because not everybody's got extra class call signs, but due to the way the regulations are set up, you operate under a case like it under the highest person's class of license. I know that's how the summer field day is. Now, whether the winter's like that, just keep it in mind. I don't know.
That perfect sense, because then you're just operating with them technically present, right? And under their call sign, and so have a different control operator, and they're the station operator, right? Yeah. So that way, yeah, I can understand that.
I assume if you are able to find a group somewhere doing it, a club doing it, that the rules on some things will be similar. That's how I would take it. I've never, like I said, with a winter one myself, but I would judge most of it based on the summer one.
It's probably a lot the same. It's just not the ARRL actually doing it. But, yeah, I mean, most of the rules look fairly similar, so I could probably see that being the case.
Go and find someone doing it, but I don't know. And the ones that was doing it, I don't think they're going to do it this time. So just keep looking and hope. But otherwise, as you say, you'll have to do it as a group of two, I guess.
I think we'll figure something out and have fun either way we go.
The slow scan TV goes, you'll just have to pay attention to all the clubs around and check in on about how their nets go and find out from the different clubs around who might be doing some slow scan TV. Not the past year or 2 years ago, but prior to that, the Anderson Club over here was doing some slow scan TV. They was over here after their net, but since all this COVID business come about, I hadn't heard them doing any slow scan TV up here now in a year or two.
Bill, I think theirs is on Sunday night, if I remember. It's been a little while since I participated, but it used to be on Sunday night.
LZIVD. I'm aware of it, but unfortunately, where I'm at, most time I can't even hear the repeaters, much less get into it. So what they do or don't do, you know, you probably know more than I know of, than what I read about and hear others talk about it.